the Legion as a vocation, the Legion as a way of life. Because for my mom and dad and for my two sisters and for myself, Legion has been a way of life. I wanted to tell you a little bit about how my mom and dad got into the Legion and how they met and some of the things that have been going on in the Legion in our country and other parts of the world. Well, my mom and dad have a very interesting background when it comes to the Legion because they met in the Legion of Mary. And they met back in around 1954, 1955. And my dad was born in Reading, Pennsylvania. I'm sure some of you have heard of Reading. And he had an interesting background because his father passed away when my dad was only about 4 years old. And my dad's father was not a religious man. He wasn't Catholic. In fact, he was anti-Catholic. It was my grandmother who took the responsibility of having my dad baptized when he was about 2 years old. My grandmother, you know, took my dad when he was two and snuck him out of the house and went down to the local church and was able to have the priest baptize him secretly without my grandfather ever finding out. If my grandfather had found out, he would not have been very pleased. So my dad was baptized, and years later, it was discovered that day that my grandmother took him out to get him baptized secretly was March 25th, the feast day of the Annunciation. Now, when I was born on March 16th, it just so happened that the day that I was baptized was March 25th as well, 30-some years later. But we didn't know that until years later, that my dad and I shared the same baptismal date. Well, eventually, my dad's father passed away, and my grandmother raised my dad. And my grandmother was a very simple woman. She only went to the sixth grade in school, which was about maybe 12 years of age. So she had very little education, but she had a deep religious faith. And she worked at all sorts of odd jobs, mostly as a cook, you know, in a small restaurant, and earned enough money for my dad to, you know, go to school. And eventually my grandmother became deaf. She was completely deaf by the time my dad was in his late teens. So it was just my dad and my grandmother. Well, my dad began to take up a lot of jobs as well. He worked in a bank. He worked digging graves. He said when he dug graves, he had a lot of people under him. That was the only good part about that. He worked in a record store. He worked in a bank. He worked all sorts of odd jobs. So eventually, it was discovered he had tuberculosis. So my dad was sent off to the sanatorium, just like Edel Quinn went to the sanatorium as well. And he stayed there for a few years. But while he was there, many of the good Jesuits would come to visit, and they would give talks on the Catholic faith and spirituality. And my dad began reading the great spiritual classics, you know, the great works of Francis de Sales and The Imitation of Christ and a number of the great spiritual classics that were available at that time, the works of von Zeller and many others, that really began to shape his spirituality. But when he got out of the sanatorium, he was living in Reading, Pennsylvania, and there's a priest there named Father Ignatius Zoll. And Father Zoll was very Marian. In fact, he had been reading and studying de Montfort's True Devotion, which he began to do about the year 1950, right after the time the Assumption was defined. But then I believe it was the year 1954, the Holy Year of Redemption, that Father Zoll decided to start the Legion of Mary. He had heard about it, but no one else in Pennsylvania at that part had any Legion Presidia. Somehow he got a hold of the Legion Handbook, so he decided to start the Legion. And he had a wonderful group of maybe 10 or 15 women. We didn't have any men in the Legion. So my dad was coming to him for spiritual direction and for confession. And he tried for 2 years to get my dad in the Legion, and he wouldn't come. And my dad said, I don't want to join a women's organization, a women's group. Well, eventually, Father Zoll was able to convince him to join the Legion. And how he did it was one day my dad came for spiritual direction and confession. And Father Zoll said, after my dad went to confession, Bill, for your penance, join the Legion. Actually, I think it was more of a recommendation. It probably wasn't an official penance, but My dad's been in now for 40 years. He just had his 40th anniversary in the Legion just last year. And I often say, Dad, what in the world did you confess to get 40 years of 40 years of hard labor? But of course, he met my mom in the Legion, which was a great blessing. So that made up for having to do his penance. Well, my mom's background was somewhat the same, but you know, a little bit different too. She was born in South Bend, Indiana, born and raised there. And she had a rather difficult childhood as well. Her dad passed away when she was young, and she was raised by her mother for part of the time. And then her mother got sick, and my mom was sent to different foster homes and foster families to be raised. But she was raised a Catholic, and her brother, who sort of left the Catholic faith, and we're still praying for him. My mom eventually was invited to join the Legion by a friend of hers, who later didn't persevere in the Legion, but my mom did, which is an interesting thing. I'm sure some of the people that got you in the Legion might not have stayed, but you see how God used them to get you in the Legion, even if perhaps they didn't stay themselves. So my mom joined the Legion and became very active in the Legion in South Bend, Indiana. At that time, she was also very intrigued with Bishop Sheen at that time. Anybody Bishop Sheen fans in here? Well, she corresponded with Bishop Sheen for a little while, and on one of his trips to Notre Dame, he went out and had an interview with her, and he actually hired her as one of his secretaries. So she was one of his four secretaries for a little while when he was teaching philosophy at Catholic U. Well, in the meantime, my mom became more and more active in the Legion, more and more involved in the Legion, and she began corresponding with Frank Duff, the founder. And Frank Duff asked her if she'd be willing, as a young single woman, to move to Philadelphia to establish the Legion of Mary in the state of Pennsylvania. In Philadelphia, this is the early 1950s. So when you're talking to my mom, she won't give you an exact year, okay? She doesn't reveal her age. So we say, well, Mom, how long have you been in the Legion? She says, oh, a long time. And she won't tell you exactly what year she joined, because then we could figure out how old she was. So, but she actually looks, I mean, she looks so young, she still looks like she's in her 40s or early 50s. Same with my dad. In fact, Frank Duff once said that the Legion keeps you young. That if you join the Legion, you'll look 10 years younger. So nobody thinks I'm 32. They think I'm still in my 20s. Sometimes I'll go to a restaurant and I'll order maybe a glass of wine with dinner, and the waiter or waitress, let me see your ID. I say, hey, the Legion's still keeping me young. But it's true. Frank Duff, at the age of 93, had just bicycled around Ireland, and many of the legionaries over in Ireland that you'll meet, you ask them how old they are, you'd be surprised that they might say, I'm in my 70s or 80s. They look like they're in their 50s or 60s. So the Legion, Our Lady's youthful spirit, keeps a person young. So anyway, my mom moved to Philadelphia and became an extension worker in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, where there was no Presidia at all. So she started the first Presidia in Philadelphia. Eventually, she started the Curia, and she became the first president of the Philadelphia Curia, which is now the Philadelphia Synodus. And then that eventually spread to New Jersey and to other parts of Pennsylvania. And they heard about this presidium out there in Reading, Pennsylvania, which Father Zoll had started. And my dad became an officer of that presidium. So my mom and dad met at the Philadelphia Curia meeting. So it pays to be an officer. Anybody says you want to become an officer? If you're single, say yes, okay? Because you might meet your spouse at a Curia meeting, just like my mom and dad did. Well, they met and they started seeing each other in between their Legion assignments and Legion meetings, and they got married on September 8th, 1958, the birthday of our Blessed Mother. Now, I've often found that the Legion is very, very good about getting husbands and wives together. Since I've been a priest, I've probably done about 7 or 8 Legion weddings of young Legion couples that met in the Legion in college, or they met in our young adult groups, and it's a great joy to see. There's a presidium over in Cork, Ireland. In about a period of 3 years, they had 5 Legion weddings from one presidium. I can tell you, it was a very popular group to join if you were a Christian. So my mom and dad were married September 8th, 1958, and they went, guess where, on their honeymoon. They went to Dublin and Lourdes. They went to Ireland and Lourdes to spend time with Frank Duff to learn more about the Legion. They were very interested in the Legion. at that time. And I believe it was on that particular trip that my dad was elected, it might have been another trip to Ireland, but he was elected as the president of the Philadelphia Curia, which eventually became the Synod. But one of the interesting things about the honeymoon was that they took Father Zoll with them on their honeymoon. He was their chaperone. Even till today, it's the only couple I know that took a priest with them on their honeymoon. But when they came back from their honeymoon after spending about 4 weeks in Ireland on the Legion, learning about the Legion, going to meetings, doing assignments, having breakfast almost every morning with Frank Duff, they came back to the United States, back to Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia suburbs, a place called Norristown, and then they started their own business called the Catholic Shop, which is religious books and chalices and books and tapes and records and nativity scenes and Bibles and good Catholic literature and Catholic goods. So they started that. They had very little money. They took their wedding gifts that people would give them and put them on the shelves and sold those to get money, and then they eventually bought merchandise and were able to make a go out of it. So they started their own business, which today has grown to 3 stores, 2 in Pennsylvania and now 1 in Virginia. So it's been a very beautiful apostolate. It's also their livelihood, but it's really a mission. It's really an apostolate of spreading good Catholic books and tapes and the sacramental statues and all these good things that remind people of God and bring them closer to God. Well, eventually 3 kids came along, my sister Edel, myself, and my younger sister Nasha. I'm sure that you recognize the name Edel. She was born in 1961, and my mom and dad named her after Edel Quinn. Now, the priest wouldn't baptize her with the name Edel because it wasn't a saint's name. And so they named her Regina Edel, after Our Lady, Queen, and after Edel Quinn. And then I came along and they named me Francis Joseph after Frank Duff and St. Joseph. And then my younger sister, Nasha, came along and they thought about naming her Alfie after Alfie Lamb, but it didn't really sound right, so they named her Ignatia after Father Ignatius Zoll. Ignatius being, of course, the great Saint Ignatius of Antioch or Ignatius Loyola. And this priest who got my dad into the Legion, who did my mom and dad's wedding, who went on the honeymoon, they named her after him, Father Ignatius Zoll. So she became known as Nasha, which is a beautiful, pretty name. So eventually we wanted to join the Legion when we became of age, 8, 10, and 12 years of age. We asked to join. They never forced us to join. This was something that we saw as something that they loved to do. And through their example and their great love for Christ and the Blessed Mother, we wanted to participate in the church and do things that they were doing. And from the earliest times, I remember my mom and dad every morning going to daily mass at 6:30 in the morning. Just as husband and wife going off to daily mass, and they came back home and got us up and fixed us breakfast and sent us off to school. So they were very active in the Legion, and we asked about maybe if we could join. So there was no Junior Presidium in that area. So my dad started the Junior Presidium. He was the president. I was the treasurer. My sister Edel was the secretary, and we got another girl to be the vice president. So we just had 4 or 5kids in the Presidium. And from that junior group, all of us grew up in the Legion, and that junior group is still going today. That was August 11th, 1973. We just celebrated the 1,000th meeting of that junior presidium like a year or two ago. Now, for a junior group to reach over 1,000 meetings is a tremendous accomplishment. That's really thanks to my sister, who eventually became the president of that junior group and is still running that junior group today as a tribune, which is a lay person that is sort of sits in place as a spiritual guide or somebody that represents the pastor as a person who leads the rosary and gives the elocutio at the meeting. So it's a great junior presidium, and I grew up in that junior presidium. Growing up, I was treasurer, secretary, vice president, and I was going to the Curia meetings every month, and I sort of hold the record in the state of Pennsylvania for never missing a Curie meeting in 8 years, from the age of 10 until I graduated, or until I became a senior at the age of 18. We always had to schedule our vacations to the beach and other places around the Curie meetings, because we never wanted to miss the Curie meeting. My sister, when she was president of the Junior Curie, tried to use that as an incentive to get other kids never to miss the Curie meeting. She says, if anyone breaks Father Fran's record, I will take you to Ireland as the reward for never missing. But of course, still the record is unbroken. And my sister is yet to have to take a junior over to Ireland to see the Conchillium, because they have not yet broken the Junior Curie record yet. So the three of us joined the Legion back in 1973. Actually, we wouldn't let my little sister join the Legion because she was only 8 years old, and we thought she was too young. It was August, so we let her join in December. So we kept her out for a few months, but eventually she did join. And we sort of had to pass a Legion test in order to get into the Legion. We had to open up the first page of the Legion handbook and start reading, and then my mom and dad would see just how much we could understand of the Legion handbook. Well, if you know, the first page says Roman numeral 1, name and origin. So my older sister read it perfectly, my younger sister read it perfectly. I said, I name an organ. But they let me join anyway. And it's been 22 years since then. An interesting thing about my mom also, I forgot to mention, that during the birth of us kids, she never missed the Presidium meeting. She always gave birth the day after the Presidium meeting. And by the following week, she was back at the meeting holding one of us little kids. So we started going to the meetings when we were just babies. And plus another fact, my mom and dad didn't belong to the same Presidium. They always belonged to a different Presidium. That way, they could both be in the Legion. See, this is something that a lot of young couples, at least in my parish, have the problem where, you know, they're in the same Presidium, they have to get babysitting and all this. Well, they just joined different Presidiums. My dad was in a men's Presidium that worked with the Down and Out Men in Philadelphia area. My mom was in a group that met on a different night, and they used to visit the Norristown State Mental Hospital. So they were able to both be in the Legion even when we were little kids. They would just alternate, you know, the one would stay at home with us, the other one would go to the meetings and do their assignments. So it is possible, it can be done. So a lot of people ask, did I ever get to meet Frank Duff? Because, you know, I was named after him. And I actually never got to meet him, but my mom and dad did go to Ireland when they were expecting me back in late 1962. So I did get close to him when my mom gave him a hug. I was a couple inches away from meeting Frank Duff. And I tell the apocryphal story that when I heard Frank Duff's voice, I left in my mother's womb. So that's just part of the apocryphal writings of ancient history. Well, my sister Edel got to meet Frank Duff, and we have some beautiful pictures of Frank Duff holding, you know, my sister Edel, and Frank Duff was on his bicycle and holding my sister and, you know, having her ride his own bicycle. But he really loved kids, as you know. Frank Duff was just a great one for children and especially for Legion families. And he always prayed that we would become a Legion family and my mom and dad would raise a Legion family, which is, of course, really the best and easiest way to have a junior Presidium, right? Is to be married and have a bunch of kids and have them be legionaries. That's the easiest way to get a Presidium. There are other ways, of course, but this is sort of the longer way, but it is quite effective. Well, eventually, this junior Presidium, we all grew up in it, and I became the president of the young adult Presidium right after I turned 18. Because after you're 18, you go on to the senior. So we started a young adult Presidium called Mary Hope for the Future. And that Presidium is still going today. We've had many vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life from that one Presidium of young adults. And also, we've had many marriages come out of that Presidium. Two or three Legion weddings have come out of that group. Well, my sister Edel continued working with the juniors and became the president of the Junior Curia, and then secretary of the Junior Curie. So she's been involved with the juniors for over 20 years. And then she also was a Sonatus officer for a while. My sister Nation went on to get married back on September 8, 1990, which was my mom and dad's 32nd anniversary. And that was an incredible wedding. I had the privilege of witnessing their vows, of doing their marriage. I'd just been ordained in May of 1990, and their wedding was September of 1990. We had over 300 people at the wedding. We had 6 priests, 2 deacons, like 4 seminarians, and a bishop. So it was quite a wedding. The bishop who attended the wedding was Bishop Sean O'Malley from the Virgin Islands at that time. Now he's up in Massachusetts. But he's an interesting story too, because Bishop O'Malley was one of my dad's juniors in Reading, Pennsylvania. Just a little 13, 14-year-old kid. And when my dad moved, Sean went off to high school and then to the seminary and then to the priesthood and then became the bishop. Well, my dad hadn't heard from him for 20 years. One day, he calls my dad up and says, "Mr. Peffley, do you remember me? I was one of your juniors." My dad says, "Sure, I remember you, Sean. What are you doing with yourself these days?" He says, "Well, I'm the Bishop of the Virgin Islands." "Well, I'm glad you've done something good with your life." Well, he came to my sister's wedding and did a beautiful blessing and nuptial blessing for my sister and her husband when they were married. So that was neat. And I said to my sister and her husband, "Are you going to take the bishop with you on your honeymoon?" But for some reason, they just decided not to. So they were married September 8, 1990, which was also the 100th anniversary of when St. Thérèse, the Little Friar, made her vows. She became a sister on September 8, 1890. Well, that wedding was an interesting experience because we even had some conversions come as a result of that. There was one man who was married to a Catholic. She was in the Legion. And he was so moved by the beauty of this wedding, the Latin music and the Gregorian chant and just the high mass, that he says, "I have to become a Catholic too." So he took instructions, and today he's a Catholic. He became Catholic up in Philadelphia just because of that wedding. Well, my sister and her husband, Greg is the president of the Fairfax Curia, so he's in the Legion too. Who wouldn't let her marry anybody that wasn't in the Legion, of course? You know that. Well, they've been blessed with some children. Their first daughter was born back in January of 93, and her name is Claire Edel. So she's an Edel also. The second is Christopher Francis, and then the third is due next week, so I'm hoping to get back in time for the birth. And they're a great young couple, and so they have 3 kids under the age of 3, so they have their hands full. I'm sure some of you had to go through that same experience. And but this next child is born, will be born on around October 7th, the feast day of the Rosary, so if you can say a little prayer for a safe delivery. Dinesh gives birth, my sister gives birth in the house, in our home. You know, maybe some of you did that as well. You know, these days in America, everybody gives birth in the hospitals and all this, but for the first 2 children were home deliveries, and this one is going to be as well, God willing. And so my sister Nasha was also, at all this time, having kids working with the Legion in the juniors and working with the senior Presidia as well. She was a Curia officer. Her husband was the president of the Curia. And then they started their own business called the Catholic Shop in Virginia, which is one of the branches of my parents' store. My parents started the store down there. And again, it's just a very important apostolate of spreading good Catholic books and tapes and good Catholic videos and sacramentals. So they've been in the Legion now for all these years. And my own situation was that after I became the president of this presidium, I was only that for about a year because then I went off to college. And I thought about either being an extension worker for the Legion or perhaps going to college, so I decided to go to college, which was a small Catholic college in Virginia called Christendom. A very Orthodox college, loyal to the Pope, devoted to our Blessed Mother. And I was there for 4 years, from 1982 to 1986. So during that time when I was there, I helped to get the Legion started. And by the time I left, there were 6 Presidia on campus. 4 senior Presidia of college students and 2 groups for the juniors, which were all the children of the faculty. And that was a wonderful Legion experience because we had so many of these young, dynamic college students, and they were going to the prison, going door to door, doing a lot of great work. Over the last 10 or 15 years that the Legion has been there at the college, they've had many, many alumni leave the Christendom and go on to be extension workers or go on to start the Legion in other parts of the United States. I would estimate that maybe about 80 alumni have gone on to become legionaries in other parts of the country. For example, one of my favorite stories was a young man named John from Michigan. And he went to a presidium, and he showed up one day. He had graduated from college. He got back to his parish. He showed up at a presidium meeting that had not had a guest in 7 years. And everyone in the presidium, I think there were five ladies, they're all over 70 or 80 years old. Here comes this young college student with his Legion handbook and his Franklin planner in the one hand and his Legion handbook under the other arm. And he was a knight in shining armor. By the end of that meeting, he was the new president of the country. They wouldn't let him get away with anything. We had two girls from Christendom go over to Iceland to spend time with Father Bradshaw and work in the Legion missions in Iceland. We had about four or five became extension workers in Louisiana and Scranton and Delaware and many other places. One girl, Kathy O'Brien, went to Louisiana for about a year, and she started, I think, 17 presidia within a year. The tremendous amount of work that she did, just did a great job down there. Well, my own vocation began to be sort of revealed to me when I was at Christendom. Very gradually, very slowly, I felt God calling me more and more to the priesthood. So during my senior year is when I really felt God calling me. So after I graduated from Christendom, I went to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is one of the best seminaries in the country. As you know, we have a lot of problems in the United States with some Catholic colleges that are only Catholic in name. They're not truly Catholic as far as their teaching. Same thing with some seminaries. Some of the seminaries are not really teaching the way they should be. So, but there's like four or five good seminaries in America, so I was privileged to go to one of those. When I got to the seminary, they did not have a Legion. And so I asked the spiritual director. I didn't rush into it. I waited like a week or two after I got to the seminary to ask him. So I got there the beginning of September. We started the first presidium on September 21st, the feast day of St. Matthew. So we got about 3 weeks of not rushing into things. And when I went to the spiritual director and I said, could we start the Legion, he was delighted. He said that the Legion used to be here 17 years ago. It died in the early 1970s. And ever since then, they have this vexillum in my closet. He says, whenever I go into my closet, I'm sort of haunted by this vexillum. I think the Blessed Mother wants me to start the Legion, but I've never had the opportunity. So he took it out of his closet, he dusted it off, and that same vexillum that was used 17, 20 years before with the Presidium of Seminarians, we restarted that group in 1986, and that group is almost 10 years old now. And I just visited that Presidium 6 months ago. Has about 16 or 17 members, wonderful seminarians. And these are some of the finest seminarians you could find as far as intellectual, spiritual, mature, devoted to Our Lady, truly good seminarians. And over the last few years, every year that produces Legion priests, that presidium. And in the last 10 years, they probably have an average of maybe three or four deacons that are ordained priests that come out of the Legion. So we've had just in that presidium, I would say 30 to 40 Legion priests come out of that presidium in the last 10 years. It might be more than that. It might be up to 50 by now. But they have become presidium directors, curia directors, and comitia directors in many parts of the United States, because Mount St. Mary's is called a national seminary. It means it sends 40 different dioceses that send their seminarians there. So that was a great experience with the Legion in the seminary. One of my favorite stories was a young man who was one of the smartest seminarians in the whole place. I gave him the Legion handbook. He gave it back to me like 4 days later and says, "This is the best book on the Blessed Mother I've ever read." He read the whole thing in 3 or 4 days. He became one of our officers at the Presidium and right now is a curia director. When I was ordained in 1990, there were 6 of us in my class from my diocese. 4 out of 6 were legionaries. And even today, 4 out of 6 of us are involved in the Legion. I'm the assistant director of the Regia for the state of Virginia, which also covers the state of North Carolina as well as Virginia. The other fellow is a Curie director. Other two are Presidia directors. So we've been very blessed with, in our diocese, with Legion priests and vocations. It's also great to see in America that many seminaries are allowing the Legion in. St. Charles in Philadelphia, a very good seminary, has a presidium of close to 18 members. One time they had like 25 members, but they're holding steady at about 18. Holy Apostles in Connecticut, that has that's a seminary for delayed vocation. Some men enter the seminary at 40 and 50 years of age, and they get ordained priests. We call it Holy Fossil Seminary sometimes. Affectionately, of course. In fact, one man was ordained at the age of like 88 years old. You might have heard of him. You think he went to Texas and was ordained a priest at age 88 with all his kids and grandkids. His wife had passed away. All his kids and grandkids were there at the ordination. Then there are some other seminaries that have a Legion. But really, that's the key, in my opinion, to the growth of a Legion, is to get it in the seminaries, to get the priests interested when they're young, when they're interested when they're young priests. That way they'll work with it and spread it. And also you have to get the college students and the teenagers in, which is, of course, what you're trying to do. Now, the college students are really dynamic because, you know, they become extension workers and Legion missionaries, and they do all sorts of wonderful things. And if you've read about the history of the Legion in the Philippines, it was because of the college students at Santo Tomas University in Manila, you know, St. Thomas University, the Dominican, that the Legion spread all over the Philippines. The Legion was started there in about the year 1940, 1942, and it grew from there to 250,000 active members. They have, 25,000 presidia in the Philippines today. And when you see what's happened in Korea, you read about the Legion in South Korea. You see, the Legion in America, and I'm sure Canada, you know, just is not growing as well as it is in other countries. So we should not get discouraged and think, well, the Legion is not valuable or it's not working in our country. If the Legion, I mean, the Legion is a tremendous organization. It's just that the faith in our country and perhaps here is not as vibrant and as strong as it should be. But where the Catholic faith is strong, the Legion rapidly grows like wildfire. Like Korea, I forget the exact statistic, but I've heard recently that they're up to 150,000 active members in South Korea, 15,000 presidia. Many parishes have 60 and 70 presidia in one parish. Some parishes have 3 curia in one parish. So it's amazing what's growing. What's happening in Korea, Africa, the Philippines, and other parts of the world. So don't get discouraged that the Legion's not growing here. One reason is because the faith is, for example, in America, we only have 25,000 active members in America, which is not bad, but, you know, where the faith is strong, the Legion grows. For example, my diocese of Arlington, Virginia, we're very blessed to have a lot of vocation. We recently, like the bishop, in the last 10 years has ordained 80 young priests himself as the bishop. We just ordained 10 priests this past year. We're ordaining 10 more this May. We only have 60 parishes in our whole diocese. 60 parishes, and I don't want them to come up here, right? And I don't blame you. But we're up to about 140 priests in our diocesan priests, not let alone about 100 religious order priests. So it's great because some of our parishes have 2 and 3 priests, which enables us to come up here to Canada to give a Legion retreat. We've recently established 2 parishes in the Dominican Republic. So we're not sort of hoarding our priests. We're sending them. We send some to the military because there's a great shortage of Catholic priests in the military. And we send some to missions, Dominican Republic. We send some to the National Shrine in Washington, D.C. to be the assistant director of the shrine. We send some over to Rome for further studies. So we're very blessed. I'll tell you the reason why we're gaining priests is because our diocese is known as one loyal to the Pope, devoted to Our Lady, in love with the Eucharist, and it's following the teachings of Christ and the Church. So that's why we're getting a lot of vocations, thank God. So we probably have 40 or 50 seminarians right now who will be ordained within the next, 4 to 8 years. So, and now, of course, because of that, the Legion's been growing in our diocese. 10 years ago, we had 25 presidia in our diocese. Today, we have over 100 presidia in 60 parishes. Now, not every parish has the Legion, but I think about 45 out of 60 have a Legion. And some presidia are multiple in parishes. For example, my own parish that I'm in right now, called Our Lady of Angels, we have 3 presidia, 2 adult presidia, one on Tuesday night, one on Thursday night, one on Friday morning, and we have a junior presidium that meets on Friday afternoons at the school. We also have a homeschooling presidium of kids whose parents homeschool. It's a great presidium of about 14 beautiful little kids that really know their faith and know their catechism. And so actually we have 4 presidia if you include the homeschooling presidium, which meets at the next parish over. So the Legion has grown rapidly in our diocese, thanks to, I think, primarily the Legion priests and the college students from Christendom that have become legionaries in our diocese. One of our legionaries from Christendom was a young law student, went to the University of Virginia, and during law school he was the president of the Comitium while going to law school, and he was able to help the Legion down there. So if you get the college students and the seminarians interested in Legion, it might take a couple of years, but the Legion will truly grow rapidly, I'm convinced of that. We've been very blessed over the last couple of years to see over 100 presidia in our diocese. We recently started 2 new curia. We started a Korean curia, Spanish curia, and junior curia, all in the last couple of years, thanks to the growth of the Legion down there. Now, the Koreans are growing rapidly. I'm sure they are up here as far as the Legion. They have a parish. I think they have maybe 7 or 8 presidia in their one Korean parish. Usually, most parishes like my own, as far as RCIA, last year we brought about 25 or 30 people into the church, which is pretty good by American standards. But they brought in 250 converts in 1 year from that one parish, from those presidia. So just like they're doing in Korea, they're doing here in America, and I'm sure up here in Canada. So it's been great to see the growth of the Legion in our diocese, thanks to our Blessed Mother and to these priestly vocations. Now, my first parish, which I was in when I came here 2 years ago to Toronto to give the Legion retreat up there, was called St. Andrew's. And by the time I left there, we had 6 presidia in the parish, 2 senior, 2 high school, and 2 junior groups. It's a huge parish of about 3,000 families right now, anyway. We did 600 baptisms in 4 years, just the pastor and myself. Sometimes we baptize 14 babies at one time. You almost feel like getting out the fire hose and baptizing all that way. But in fact, the pastor told me when I got to the parish, he says, everybody is pregnant in the parish except for me and you. So they keep it that way, Messina. And so we had a huge parish, about 2,000 kids in CCD, and 6 presidia of the Legion. And by the time I left, we had about 100 legionaries, including active and juniors, all active. Auxiliary, we had a couple hundred auxiliaries, but as far as active members, we had about 100, including the two senior presidia and the 4 juniors and intermediates. And Father Bradshaw once said that a priest should do 100 men's work a day, but use 100 men to do it. And that would include women too, 100 legionaries. So a priest should do 100 men's work a day, but use 100 legionaries to do it. That way he can be, like the handbook says, the Legion is the extension of the priest. So we've been very blessed down there in Virginia that the Legion is growing in our diocese, but I can't say that's the case for other parts of the United States. There are some dioceses where it's very difficult to get members. It's difficult to get members in Virginia, too. I'm not saying that it's easy, but we're having a better time, thank God. But again, wherever the Catholic faith is strong, the Legion will be strong. Wherever the Catholic faith is weak, the Legion will be weak. So my own policy has been to go into a parish and to try to start Eucharistic adoration, devotion to Our Lady, the rosary, the miraculous medal, the brown scapular, reading good Catholic books, good Catholic literature, talking about confession, talking about Mary and the saints. And once we fertilize the soil of the parish, then Legion groups start to pop up. I usually try to start a St. Louis de Montfort study group when I go to a parish. And from that, I found that if people start reading de Montfort and the true devotion, then they start to grow in devotion to Our Lady, and then they become legionaries after that. So there are ways to recruit members. In fact, I always tell people that if you join the Legion, Our Lady will do something very special for you. One particular man was a German soldier who had been in an explosion in World War II in a tank, and he had lost all his hair. And the doctor said he would never be able to grow his hair again. And the priest, Father Ripley from England, who had met him, said, "You know, I bet if you join the Legion of Mary, your hair will grow back." Well, the young man says, "Well, I've tried everything else. I might as well." 3 months after he joined the Legion, he had the most beautiful head of hair. That's a true story. Now, if any of you are in that situation, then you're welcome to do that. But I found that if you do something for Our Lady, she'll do something for you. She can't help but do it. She can't help but shower graces and blessings upon you if you do something for her, if you serve her in the Legion. So the Legion truly has been a way of life for my mom and dad, who met in the Legion, who remain active for over 40 years in the Legion. My dad's still an officer of the Philadelphia Senatus. My mom's an officer of her Presidium. My sister, Naisha, and my other sister, Idel, are still both active members in the Legion. I'm the director of a few Presidia and other things. So it's been a way of life for us in the Legion. It's been a great blessing for us. And I think you can't help but think that a lot of it was due to the prayers of my grandmother, who died back in 1985 at the age of 93. And she had, as I told you, gone completely deaf when my dad was a teenager. She had lost almost her entire sight by the time she was in her 80s. And so all she could do all day was pray the rosary. She prayed about 12 rosaries a day. She had never heard of Vatican II. She never heard of any of the recent popes or anything. And she just probably thought that Pope Pius X was still the pope, you know. She was completely out of touch with everything going on in the world and in the church, but she held on to her rosary and prayed about a dozen rosaries a day. You know, one for the souls in purgatory, one for our family, one for the Legion. So I think it was primarily through her prayers that I'm sure God gave me the grace to be a priest and gave our family so many blessings in the Legion. So I hope that all of you are encouraged to know that the Legion is growing in many parts of the world, like the Philippines, Africa, South Korea, and certain dioceses in the United States. I wish I could say that it's growing rapidly all over the United States, but we're battling a lot of problems down there, a lot of materialism, secularism, a lot of problems that you're well aware of. I'm sure you have the same problems up here. But it should be encouraging to know that the Legion is growing in many parts of the world, many parts of the country, and we should try to do what we can to spread our faith up here and to not get discouraged and to not give up, because the Legion is a tremendous blessing. It has been a blessing in my parents' lives, in my family's life, in my life. I'm sure it's a blessing in your life as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.